And today you'll be covering verses 122, 123, and 124 from Surah Al-Baqarah. And now, as we've been covering the Surah Al-Baqarah from the beginning, now there's a slight shift in topic, as you would notice it from today. From today onwards, for the next 10-20 ayats, there's a slight shift. So far we were talking about Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel, and the different miracles they were giving, and the different blessings they were giving, and then the different tests they were engaged in. And so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is these two ayats, verse 122, 123, is, you can say, so to speak, the transition ayat. Transition from the story of Musa alayhi salam, Moses with Bani Israel, to now his forefather, so to speak, going backwards, the father of prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Verse 124 talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam and his ordeal and all the things he happened. But before 124, these two ayats, if you look at it, focus at it, it's like a fulcrum, pivot, bridge between two different set topics. In this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding once again Bani Israel, because we just finished in the previous passages about the ayats regarding how they disobeyed Rasulullah or denied believing in him, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the ayats over here in Surah Baqarah that they have clear, vivid proofs in their Torah and Injil. They have very clear proofs in Torah and Injil about the features, sifat of Rasulullah, yet they deny it. So over here, like a warning, like a last call and admonition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them about a very special thing. And what is that? The blessing. The blessing that Allah bestowed upon, and the virtuous status that Allah blessed upon this call. And we have been covering that for the last, basically for the last 6-7 months, from the beginning of Surah Baqarah, around between verses 40, from verses 40 to 120, we've been covering and looking at all the blessings and bestowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Bani Israel. So that is what Allah is reminding, that Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Izkuru, remember, recall, refresh your memory. Izkuru, Ni'mati allati an'amtu alayk. Remember the ni'mah, the blessing. Whose blessing? Allah's blessing. Because this is Allah speaking directly to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah is saying, Ni'mati. As we, those of us who are learning Arabic, we learned that there is a pronoun, and this is the pronoun of the first person, first tense. اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. That, O children of Israel, remember the blessings and bounties that I, as your Lord, your Creator, blessed upon you. And that was not just enough. Second part of the ayah, Allah's mother very clearly telling us, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And also remember that I elevated your rank and status, your maqam, the respect and honor and dignity that you as a qawm, as an ummah, had, I elevated that. أَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ. Al-fadl is like a bestowing of a blessing. Fadl is like a barakah, a special virtuous honor. فَضَّلْتُكُمْ upon what? What is this fadl? عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a very grandiose statement here about the Bani Israel, reminding them that look, before giving the final warning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them once again that look, remember all the miracles, and we talked about these miracles, if you remember, that the miracle of Mannu and Salwa, the miracle of the Baqarah, the miracle of many things, and then the Azab, and then the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them, and the various things that they got. The biggest miracle being liberated from Fir'aun, the clutches of that tyrant. So, and then, فَضَلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, and then remember that you as a qawm, as an ummah, as a nation, as a big power state, you were elevated in rank and status. فَضَلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. What is the purpose of this act? If you really look at this retrospectively, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that don't, you remember in the last few passages of Surah Baqarah, we talked about that how they claimed that they will be the ones who will be going to Jannah. and they dishonored others and they criticized others. Meaning the Bani Israel said that it's only the Bani Israel, they're going to go to Jannah and everybody else is going to go to hellfire. It's only the Bani Israel who are going to get the blessings of Allah and everybody else will be deprived. This kind of superiority complex feeling, they had Allah revealed about that in the surah already. And that is what Allah SWT is reiterating here, that just because of your status, just because of your rank and honor, is not sufficient to go to Jannah. You have to also obey Allah SWT. You have to do the good deeds. You have to do the actions and earn to go to Jannah. You can't just go to Jannah on its own, you have to earn it. And remember that your fadl, the blessing or the honor and dignity, your maqam, your status, your fadl, is only so long as you obey Allah. The moment you disobey Allah, Allah will repeal or snatch away that fadl. So in reality, this is a Madani surah, was in Medina. In reality, this ayah is really warning me and you, Muslims. Because we have got into this habit, we as Muslims, 1.6 billion strong in this world right now, on an average, I'm not saying that this is the norm, but on an average, exceptions allowed, on an average, you go to any Muslim country, the philosophy or the mentality in the mind is, as long as I said the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, I'm going to Jannah. What I do after that? Oh, we'll see. The book of Jannah, dekhi jayegi. The aankh band hogi, dekhi jayegi. This is a very, very dangerous phenomenon of phobia. I call this a phobia phenomenon. Why? Because this kills your personality inside, your Muslim personality. Yes, you may have a personality on its own, but the Muslim personality dies out. Why? Because shaitan is soothing you like a slow poison, like a cancerous tumor growing gradually in your mind, in your personality, in yourself, making you feel that I'm relaxed. I have said the Shahada, and look, there's a hadith, yes, and we even quote. We become very big scholars, we start quoting Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, we say, oh look, there's a hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, that, and we memorize it very easily because it's very similar to the Urdu language. Man qala la ilaha illallah faqad dakhala al-jannah. Look, Rasulullah said, whoever said la ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. How they will enter is not my concern. Let me enjoy it right now. Plus, we are a very chosen people. Now, there's so many resemblance, there's so much similarity over here between the Bani Israel of Musa Islam and the Ummah to Muhammad alayhi Islam. In fact, there's so much resemblance and similarity in Musa Islam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a yateen orphan, he was a yateen also. He had to make hijrah, he had to make hijrah. His own people ridiculed him, his own people ridiculed him. His own people were after his life trying to kill him, his own people were after his life trying to kill him. And there are so many. There are so many that are written by scholars in terms of comparative religion, the similarities and resemblances between Musa al-Islam and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The similarities and resemblances between Bani Israel and Ummah to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need to look at these similarities and resemblances not with a casual attitude, but with a very, very conscious attitude. That what have I done? Have I learned from the mistakes? If I just read Surah Baqarah, have I learned the mistakes that are outlined in Surah Baqarah of the previous nation? Or am I following suit with the same way? Why do you think Rasulullah had so much value for a person who memorized Baqarah? The best, of course, he had the value of what Hafiz. But if there was not a person Hafiz, the next question he would ask is, how much did you memorize? People would say, I memorized a quarter of Quran, a one-third, a half. But he would ask, did you memorize Baqarah? And if somebody said yes, he would grab his hand and hug him. In fact, this was one of his criteria, that when he would choose a leader to go on an expedition, when he would choose someone to become a leader of a caravan, leader of a cavalry to go on an expedition, he would, in his criterion screening process, he would ask, are you Hafiz? Yes, okay. No, did you memorize Baqarah? If they say yes, okay. If no, next person. Are you Hafiz? No. Surah Baqarah? Yes, okay. Meaning in the life of Rasulullah, he is putting so much value and emphasis and importance on Surah Baqarah, there's got to be something into it. And the biggest message we see is, apart from the ayats in Surah Baqarah about the Sharia of Islam, apart from the ayats in Surah Baqarah about our rituals, our manasik, our ibadat, zakat, psalm, hajj, and all those things, the laws, qanun, of the Sharia that is there in Surah Baqarah. Apart from that, the biggest message which we see why Rasulullah put heavy emphasis on the Surah is learning from the mistakes of Bani Israel. Because in the time and their days, in their glory days on this earth, the same earth that me and you are living right now, they were way up there, the highest, the peak, the epic. And how Allah Ta'ala gradually repealed them to such, they stooped down so low, in front of their own eyes. So Allah is warning us, giving us a lesson in Surah Baqarah, that Ummah to Muhammad sallam, don't think that just because of the name of Muhammad sallam, you are blessed and you are free and you are exempted. No, you have to earn, you have to live up to the title that you are an ummati of Muhammad sallam. So much so that even Allah Ta'ala, the Day of Judgment in Yawm al-Qiyamah, from the front of all the Kotel, Allah will send two angels to grab those believers who don't deserve to be called the ummati of Muhammad sallam. That hadith is there in Ibn Majah, a very, very famous hadith where the Rasulullah said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah there will be those people from my ummah who will come up in a line, they'll make a line. You know, you make a line in this world, you go to the DMV license department, you make a line. You want to make a passport, you go there, you make a line. You go to the post office, you want to just get mail something, you got to make a line. Imagine after waiting in a line, long enough, when it's come to your turn, when you're about to be dealt, you're not dealt with. You are forbidden. Two great angels descend down, they grab you from the two biceps, bazoo se pakadke, can't kill you. And Rasulullah is saying in that hadith that I will call upon the angels, or as it says in some narrations, I will call upon Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati. It will be said to him, as it is narrated in the hadith, it will be said to Rasulullah that they are not from your ummah. You don't know, Ya Rasulullah, what they did after your going away from the dunya, how they ridiculed your sunnah, how they literally butchered and sacrificed your sunnah. For what? For dunya. Isn't that so? Why does a Muslim need sunnah? Did you ever think about it? The bottom line crux of the issue is dunya. Dunya dari ke waste. Oh, this sunnah di gaya, theek hai, dekhi gaya. Oh, it's just a sunnah, brother, we'll take about it. Oh, my iman is not that high enough. When my iman reaches that high enough, I will practice the sunnah of Rasulullah. Who is to guarantee that I will live that long that my iman will increase? Yet again, do I have a thermometer or a barometer to measure my iman? How can I say from my own very tongue that my iman is not high enough to practice the sunnah? Am I a guardian of my own inside, my soul? Do I know my ruh? Do I know my iman? No. Nobody knows iman. Nobody knows how much iman they have. There is no measurement, there is no cup. So how can an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 2005, in 1426, on the face of this earth say, it's just a sunnah, it's not fault, it's not wajib. Oh, Allah is not going to ask you about this. This sunnah is extra. But it is the same sunnah and extra because of which you have that respect, maqam, ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ummati of Muhammad as Islam. And imagine after standing in such a long line for the passport, for the license, as soon as your turn comes at the counter, it says, sorry, you're closed. Go. At least there you can say, come back on Monday morning or the next day. But in Qiyamah, Allah is going to say, sorry, close. And you can't even come. Close indefinitely. Why? Because the person did not follow Sunnah in the dunya. This is the hadith of Rasulullah. But look at the philosophy over here. Allah is not going to stop you from getting in the line. No, you get in the line. Where's the line for all the causes? People ask you. This is the line for all the causes. Rasulullah said, I get in the line. Yes, just get in the line. You get in the line. You're happy and merry. I'm going to be drinking from the blessed palms of Rasulullah. The moment your turn comes and you're about to take the first step, angels snatch you away. Saying to Rasulullah that he or she does not deserve to be your ummati, Ya Rasulullah, because you don't know what they did to your sunnah while you were away from the dunya. And that's exactly what Allah SWT is saying here to the Bani Israel. Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. O Bani Israel, remember the bestowings and blessings and the ni'mah and the miracles and the countless things that I gave you as a qawm. And also remember the fadl, the honor, respect, dignity, maqam you as an ummah shared on earth. Because the next verse is like an inzar, warning. Wattaku and fear. Fear what, O Allah? Wattaku yawman. See, this is the philosophy of Islam. This is the wisdom, hikmah of Allah. This is the sunnah of Allah. That He does not come down hard with punishment. First step is reminder, tazkir. اذكروا نعمتي التي remember. Then comes the stern warning. واتقوا and fear. Very beautiful ayat. If you look at the symmetry of the words used there, if you know the Arabic grammar, it's really beautiful when you compare the two. Like there's a stepwise stage processing. First is remember, remind yourself, recall. Why? Can somebody tell me why Allah is reminding first and then warning? One. Think about it. Think about it in your daily life. Many of us are parents. As father and mother, when you see your son and daughter going the wrong way, what's the first thing you say? Do you come down hard with a stick right away? No. Beta, baby, remember. Beta, son, daughter, remember. You remind them of the good times, the good things you spend on them. You remind them of the things. You are trying to pray, say, for salake, aram say, you try your best, because this is human nature. And Allah is dealing with us with human nature. Because who created us? Allah. Who created nature? Allah. So Allah knows that it is human nature to first recall, remember, just like a father and mother does. That's why we call that father and mother Jallad, who doesn't remind first and straight away goes to the violent aspect of it. And that's why Allah SWT is saying, before I warn you, before I admonish you, I want to remind you that maybe by remembrance you wake up. And that is what Allah SWT is saying here. That after a reminder, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ. This is a very heavy ayah. Many of the Sahaba who used to recite this ayah, they would faint because of the professing crying, excessive crying. Very saqeel ayah, if we understand the meaning of it. Not just the surface meaning of the words used by Allah, but by the depth, the ocean depth meaning of the concept laid down here in a very systematic, professional, protocol way. Let's look at it. Let's take it bit by bit. First thing Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا and remember and fear. Have some consciousness, envision. You know, we easily say اِتَّقُوا means fear, but there's so many meanings for this word. Really, the way I like to explain is Allah is saying, close your eyes and envision. Imagine you are on Yom Al-Qiyam, Maidan al-Arafat. We already know where the Qiyam is going to be. We know we go there for Hajj, for Umrah. We see that area, that Maidan, that open place of night. Every year in Hajj, we see the photos, pictures coming of Hajjaj, standing on Jabal Rahma. We know the place is going to be there. So when Allah says, اتقوا يَوْمًا and fear that day, day of judgment, as Allah is really saying, close your eyes and envision yourself, you're standing in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyam. And what are you going to do? And what are you going to say? And what are you going to expect? And what you're going to feel? And what you're going to observe? These are so many questions embedded in one word. Ittaqu. It doesn't just, you know, the literal meaning, the surface meaning means fear Allah. You pick up any Quran in English, you'll say, Ittaqu, fear Allah. But in reality, the fact of the matter is, Allah is saying, fear me as if you are standing in front of me on the door of his head. Yom al-Qiyamah. Ke ronte khade ho jayenge. Insaan ke baal khade ho jayenge. Insaan ke hosh ho jayenge. This is the meaning of ittaqu. Not that, oh, just fear Allah. Not that, oh. اردو میں بھی آپ دے گئے اکثر اسی لیے میں کہتا ہوں بار بار عربی زبان سیکھنا بہت لازمی ہے. I always stress this and I can't help and stress enough that it's very essential to learn Arabic, because when you know Arabic, your heart moves with the rhythm of Quran. When you know Arabic, literally your nerves rattle with the shaking of the words in the Quran. And this is a very shaking ayah. Many of the Salaf al-Salih, many of the pious predecessors, they in Tahajjud, in Qiyam al-Layl, they were reciting this ayah, they stuck on this ayah. Not because they can't recite Quran, they get stuck because of the torment, the pressure, the burden, very heavy, saqeel ayah. And some of them cry so much, they faint. Beyond their life. Koi aur ayah paani na uthe to kya hua? Ye ayah bardasht nahi ho sakti. Insaan ke nafs ki catastrophe bhi, कि वो इस आयत को डाइजेस्ट कर सके. इतनी भारी आयत, कोशिश करते हैं कि हम इसको समझ सके आज बेहसन तरीके से. वो तक सिस्टमैटिक प्रोटोकॉल हुई अगर अगर आप मेरे साथ चले इस आयत को एक एक करके देखें गौर से, इसका मुआवजा करें, तो आप देखिए अल्लाह ताला ने बड़े आराम से बड़े सिस्टमैटिक अंदाज से हमें समझाने की कोशिश की. लेकिन काश के इस बनी आदम को इस इंसान को समझ जाए. What kind of day this is? Allah is describing in the next phrase. First thing we know by the word Yawm, we know right away, it is day of judgment. The ghadi has a rag hogi, teen hafte mein. The pehle jab main baitha tha, ye ghadi mera naam maar ke sajda kar diya. Jab bhi log kyun kam ho gaye. So, what talk of Yawm, la tajzi, does not give jaza. La tajzi, nafsun an nafsun. तो इंसान किसी की कोई मदद नहीं कर सकता, खा वो कितने भी कोशिश करे. मां आज मां अपने बच्चों को देखती थोड़ा थोड़ा तो तड़प जाती, बेचैन है. बाप भी देगी, हम में से बहुत से यहां पर बाप बैठे. अगर खुदा ना खास्ता आपके बच्चे या बच्ची को कुछ हो जाए और आप उसको जरा थिलमिलाता हुआ देखें, आपका दिल सब्र करे, आप रोड पर निकल आएंगे, चीखे मारने निकालेंगे, रात के 3 बजे गाड़ी जाके खराब होगी, क्योंकि आप हमसायों को जला देंगे. You will create havoc on the street if your car is not functioning at 3 in the morning and you see your son and daughter literally like this. Bilbilana, Dilmilana, usko Urdu mein, English mein kya hai, mujhe nahi pata. There's no word for in English for that. And you see your son and daughter restless, in pain and anguish, and your car is not functioning, you will create havoc on the street. You wake up every neighbor. I need help. Why? Because it's your own flesh and blood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the creator, the master, the razik, in spite of all this love of yours as a father, mother, do whatever you can do now in dunya, because there you will not be able to do it. One, you will not have the sense to do it, because everybody will be so succumbed in pressure, you want to kisi ko forget him. Listen, wo tisre paare mein jo ayat aati hai, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kehte hai ki बाप बेटा का बेटा, बाप में माँ, कोई किसी को कोई नहीं देखे. Nobody's going to think of. जब हिसाब किताब की बात, when the time of accountability comes, nobody's going to say, where is my father, where is my mother, where is my son, where is my daughter. Everybody is so burdened in pressure. And then in spite of that, if somebody does want to help someone, that I want to give my good deeds, or I want to help out this person, then look, take some donation. Here you can do it out of donation. In this dunya, not the donation of money, yes, we do that also. But here, for dead people, you can still donate. Your dead parents, your dead uncle, aunt, dada, nana, daddy, nani, your dead, you know, ancestors, you can do another donation for them. You can do good deeds and say that, oh Allah, I give this deed for them. You can make umrah in their name, you can make hajj in their name. All this ajr of that umrah and hajj is going to that dead person. You can do that here as long as you're alive. But the moment you go to Qiyamah on the day of judgment, even if you want to donate any good deed, it will be returned. Sorry, non-transactionable. No transaction can take place. That's what Allah is saying. Allah is coming down hard. The first step, the first protocol Allah is laying down is the philosophy, the mindset, the look. No matter how much you love each other as father, son, mother, daughter, you cannot help anyone by giving. Here, if the son and daughter ask father and mother for something, the father and mother will give their heart out. Right? Puchho aap, jo maan hai, jo baat hai, aap apna dil nikal ke rakh dete ki nahi rakh dete beta beti ki? Agar nahi rakhte ho, maange ho, rakhe ho, nahi rakhe ho. Koi walid kabhi nikal ke rakhe kisi ne. Chahe kitna bhi bakbakt ho, chahe kitna bhi bekar ho uski aulaad. Lekin aulaad ek dafa sawal kare, baap maa ke dil mein lag, ye Allah ki taraf se inherent hai. Ye hamare andar hai. हमारे नस में, हम चाहे जितना भी इससे इनकार कर ले, नहीं कर सकते. इंसान अपने दिल का आगे रख देगा, वे यू कैन डू इट, टू लेट.
And that is why the first step Allah is saying in the ayah is fear that day when you cannot even donate or give one person to another person, nothing. Forget about relatives, blood relatives like father, son. Even if you want to give to someone else, you can't. Because the word used here by Allah SWT is not father, son, or mother, daughter, it's nafs. Nafs al-infami, nafs al-bashar, cannot do any transaction. No lending, great lending, no dirham. So Allah SWT is saying that you have time right now. Really, what is the meaning of these first phrases in this ayah? Allah is inculcating in us. Allah is imbibing in us the philosophy, the mentality that jab tak ye saath baaki hai jism ke andar, karma jo karma hai, har cheez ki mehnat kar lo, kyunki ek dafa ye saath ruk gayi, then there is nothing. Nothing you can do about it. So that is what Allah SWT is saying. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَن نَفْسٍ. The first protocol is in human being dealing relationship, you can't help one another on that day, day of judgment. Second protocol, second step. See, that was step one. Now the increasing step. Step two. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ إِقْبَالُ. Acceptance. You bring something to me, you bring water, water, I accept it. But I can reject it. لَا يُقْبَلُ. No acceptance. Allah, the creator, the master, the accounter, the one who does accountability, he's saying, وَلَا يُقْبَلُ. Even if they want to give, it will not be accepted. You come dhere sari dhalat ki sari, ye sari nene ya Allah, lekin ye jannat de. No. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. No nafs, no ruh will be able to purchase on that day anything. Nothing. In fact, there is no currency. But there is only one currency. You know what the currency is in Quran? Anybody know? Ahmad? Amal. What kind of Amal? Amal to do kisimga. Dono honge. That's the dangerous part of it. Amal mein kehte thi ki hasanat, hasanat. No, no, no. Dono cheez milenge. Why? Let me tell you. That this brings the ayah, or this brings the hadith of Rasulullah. He said, "Atadruna man al-muflis?" That all believers, do you know who is a muflis insan? So the Sahaba said, just by human nature as the instinct, you know, man la dirham wala dirham alahu. Man la dirham wala dinar alahu. Whoever doesn't have any dirham dinar, that's the currency there. You might want to say, no, who has no dollar, or euro, or pound. Right? But the Prophet replied back saying, no. Muflis min ummati. The muflis of my ummah. Look, Rasulullah himself is defining. Muflis from the ummah to Muhammad is one who died in this dunya with a big mountain of hasanat. Big mountain. You can't even climb it. So high. So much hajj over there. So many umrah. Nowadays we have this new trend that they call, this is a what do you call that? Annual haji, biannual haji, 5-year haji. You know that new terminology is now? Annual haji means, I have been haji in every haji. And when I come back, I have given suit, I have given it to the gali, I have given it to the river. So what is this every year's haji? Oh, you are still there, right? One side is looking at it. Subhanallah. This is how low we have stood down. That we are playing games with Allah. اسے دیکھے دیکھے وہ بخاری میں حدیث ہے جس میں حج گیا تو اس کے سارے پچھلے گناہ معاف. تو کیا آپ گناہ اسی لیے کر رہے ہیں کہ حج کر رہے ہیں, یا حج اس لیے کر رہے تھے گناہ کر رہے ہیں؟ یہ میں کوئی, اٹس ناٹ اے فکٹیشس تھنگ. آئی ہیو میٹ پیپل, آئی وٹنس ٹاکنگ ان اے ہاؤس اور اے گیدرنگ ٹو سم ون, اینڈ دیٹ از واٹ ریلی شیکس می اپ. اٹ ریلی سکیئرز می ڈاؤن ٹو دی وائر دیٹ وی ہیو بیکم سو کمپلیسنٹ, اینڈ دیٹ از واٹ دس ایرر مینز. That about Bani Israel, Allah was warning them. Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. If you want to really extrapolate this ayah, the same way Allah is saying, يا أمة محمد إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم ويا أمة محمد إسرائيل اذكروا أني فضلتكم على العالمين. And look how Allah brings down an ummah down. You want to see how ummah comes down? What is happening since 2001? Is an announcement
from the master, the creator. Yes, we condemn the barbaric acts that has happened in this world. Yes, we condemn every kind of violence that has happened in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And we condemn every country where they do it in the name. That's why I like that new project that Kira has launched, not in the name of Islam. Because these people who do these things have no religion. They are criminals. They have only one religion, which Allah says in the Quran, Mujrimeen, Jum. The only religion they have is criminality, criminals. Don't call them Christian, Jew or Muslim. Call them criminals, Mujrim. And even if they claim to be Muslim, or whatever the case may be, Allah is saying, if you don't do your job right, I'm going to start rocking the boat. And who in a rocky boat, if anybody gone on the sea, you see, anybody went on a small boat out in the ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean? I have, I know how it feels. When the waves are very rocky, tormentous, literally Allah ayat. ماں باپ یاد نہیں آتے اللہ سے یاد آتے میں کپڑا لائے گا یہ انسان کی فطری چیز ہے جب کشتی اس طرح درمداری ہے انسان کے سامنے سوائے موت کے کچھ نظر نہیں آتا تو اللہ یاد یا اللہ بنا دے یا دس اوور اللہ سر سورہ الرحمن اینڈ اوور اللہ سر ان انادر سورہ دیٹ وین دے آر آن دا بحر وین دے آن دا اوشن دے ریمبر اللہ بٹ وین دے کم ٹو دا بر وین دے کم ٹو دا لینڈ فائدہ ہوں یشرکون جب زمین پہ آگے کنارے پہ آگے پھر شرک شروع. So Allah Father is rocking the boat for the Muslims. اور جب آپ کبھی اگر آپ نے ایکسپیرینس کیا, if you ever experience riding a boat, riding a big, not a big safina, because the big ships, they still are more stable. I'm talking about small boat, a fishing boat or a small crew. When the waves are rocky, start shaking. You literally are moving. At that time, you scramble to stabilize. Kisi tarah main thum jao, ruk jao, ye hil bol raha. Aur samajh sakte hai, some people get seasick, some people start vomiting nausea. The reason I'm bringing that scenario, because if you remember this scenario, this is exactly what is going on. Those who are strong and firm on the boat, on the deck, on the bottom floor, whatever they are, and they have something to grip onto, like a rod, or chair, or something, they grip, and then they are firm. اب چاہے بہت جتنا بھی لوگ ہو رہی ہے آپ نے کسی کو تھاما ہوا ہے پکڑا ہوا ہے تو آپ اور جو بیچ میں ڈال تو نہیں لیکن جو بیچ میں گھوم رہے ہیں وہ بےچارا ڈگمگا. اب اس چیز کو آپ رکھیں سامنے سپٹمبر 11 سے کیا دا بوٹ از واکنگ اور ابھی تو شروعات ہے میں ڈرانے کی کوشش نہیں کر رہا ہوں آئی ایم ناٹ سکیئرنگ یو بٹ آئی ایم سیئنگ بی پریپیئرڈ ایٹ لیسٹ دا پیپل آف ڈوم کے نام ویسینٹی ہے ابھی کا بی پریپیئرڈ. Those Muslims who pacified thinking, oh, it's 4 years now. Khalas. Every time you feel complacent, you feel relaxed, it's time to stretch the leg, one more thing happens. Who's doing it? Allah. Because remember, our iman, our aqidah is kullu shay bi yadillah. Wa kullu shay yahdusu bi mashi'atillah. Now that does not mean we don't cast the blame on anything, we don't make evil, oh look, Allah is making evil. No. This is the master plan of Allah. Just like that boat doesn't rock because the captain wants to rock it. Ocean became turbulent. Ocean is very, very volatile. Something happened. Are you going to blame the captain? No. You know, just save the weather. So Allah is preparing the test for Ummah of Muhammad. Because the Ummah of Muhammad is following the same track that the Bani Israel. This is what we've been covering for the last 10 months here. In Surah Baqarah, you see there's so much resemblance. And we become so pacified, so complacent, relaxed, that on September 11, 2001, the boat began to rock. Jolts. Thode jhadke aate hain, phir thoda sa sukoon hai. Phir jhadke aate hain, as if Allah's mother is testing doodh ka doodh paani ke paani karna. Who is the firm, stable believer, mu'min, and who is the shaky, volatile, fragile mu'min? Oh, I want to take off my topi, it's September 11, it's post 9/11 era, it's terrorism days. Oh, I want to shave my beard, it's after 9/11. I want to take off my hijab, I want to wear my burqa, my jilbab, it's post 9/11. I want to change my name, I don't like this name, I want to have a name that's very familiar so I can assimilate. Oh, I don't like to be hanging out in that parking lot with the Muslims. I don't want to do anything with the Muslims. Stuff of Allah. Things are happening. There's an fictitious story. Reality. This is one side of the spectrum. And there are those who never wore hijab, who never had beard, who never even thought about putting this thing on the head ever in their life. But after 9/11, they began doing it. So coming back to our analogy of that boat, if someone grabs onto something, they stabilize themselves. While the boat is still rocking, and it rocks more. And those who did not grab onto anything, they started falling down, fracture on the leg, twisting ankle. So if you follow the same analogy, where is the rod for me and you to hold in this rocky boat of dunya? We have only two rods or two hangers, Quran and Sunnah. And you can't grab on the Sunnah unless you grab on the Quran. So always speak the one first. So there are some people who are now called themselves Ahlul Quran, they have nothing to do with Sunnah. And then vice versa, there are some people say we don't have anything to do with Quran, just Ahlul Sunnah. In other words, if you look at the same analogy, things are going to get worse, brothers and sisters. If you're thinking that the storm is going to wither away, the volatility is going to, you know, calm down, no. As Qiyamah is getting closer and closer, this boat, which we call the dunya, you know, boat, why is boat I'm using? Because boat is very significant in the Quran. Allah's mother asked Nuh alayhi salam to build a boat. And people laughed at him. People made istinzah, sarcastic. They used to make fun of him. What? Nuh? Yeah, in fact, one of the narrations that is there in a hadith that the person said, that his people, when Mala'a bin Qawmihi, the chief, you know, the sardar, or the chief, the ministers, the dictators of his qawm, they used to make this sarcastic remark, yeah, no, sartanajjar ba'da kunta nabiyya. Even they knew, although they didn't believe in him, even they knew that being a prophet is a very virtuous maqam, very high rank, very dignified thing. And now you have become a carpenter, najjar is a carpenter. So they are taunting him, teasing him that, yeah, no, sartanajjar ba'da kunta nabiyya. You have become a carpenter after you were a prophet. It's as if like saying, you are an IT professional earning six-figure salary, now you are flipping burgers at McDonald's? No, sorry, you got laid off. I got to feed my stomach. I have no choice. I got to flip the burgers. But you see the analogy here? Yes. Sometimes this is how people go through life. And Allah is going to rock more and more to test me and you, just like He tested Bani Israel. He rocked the boat of Bani Israel in the time of Musa al-Islam, in the time of Isa al-Islam, in the time of Ibrahim al-Islam, in the time of Zechariah al-Islam. And now that the transition is moving from the story of Moses, Musa with Bani Israel, and now Ibrahim, Allah is giving this ayah to wake us up, to stir our life up, to invigorate our soul, thinking, wow, these guys really got sugar up. And we, in 9/11, we were literally sleeping with cotton buds in our ears. And what kind of curtain in our eyes? Literally, September 11 woke us up. Suddenly. And the boat is rocking. It's going to rock more. The question is, are we prepared to stabilize while the boat is rocking? Or are we just going to flip and flop and twist and break and have accidents as the people on the boat have it? But those who hold fast under the rope of Allah, Quran or Sunnah, they will be saved in this storm. They'll be saved. No matter how much it rocks, Allah saves His ibadu salihin. No matter how much the storm comes, we've seen those tsunamis, and we've seen masajid intact, not a single brick touched. Forget about being a crack, not even touched. You see, water didn't go through. We were not there. There was no eyewitness account how the water came and did not destroy the masjid. But everything within 1 yard of the masjid is destroyed, totally devastated. Allah is giving us an eye-opener. That no matter how much storm you get, no matter how much the boat rocks, if you are mustaqim on Sirat al-Mustaqim, if you have istiqama, like Rasulullah said to Ma'ad ibn Jabal, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Don't just say La ilaha illallah and say, oh, we're going to get to Jannah, khalas. Because Rasulullah said, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا فَقَدْ دَخْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. No. He said, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَا مُعَاد ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. And then be firm on it. Be firm on the La ilaha illallah. And that is what this situation in this ayah is talking about. The first thing Allah is saying, اتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس. Fear that day when not a single soul can help. ولا يقبل منه ولا يقبل منها عدل. عدل over here means فداء in the sense that of any penalty, غرامة, like giving some money. But here, you know, you say, okay, my license expired, I didn't renew it. What's the penalty? You gotta pay this much. Oh, I got a parking ticket, I didn't pay it. I gotta pay it. Now, what's the penalty? $10 surcharge. So Allah is what I'm saying, you have no surcharge. You have no way to buy your way to Him. You have no way to buy your forgiveness. But can I buy it now in dunya? Yes. Because there's an ayah in Surah Furqan where Allah is what I'm saying, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Certainly the good deeds, and over here as Imam Ibn Kathir says, here hasanat means good deed in terms of sadaqah, sadaqat. Whatever sadaqah you give, يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. It removes, wipes, erases the bad deeds. From this ayah, originally, so emanates the philosophy that we Indo-Pakistani people have a lot. What do you accent like that? Sakha kar do, ji bakra sakha kar. What do you accent say? Pehle kyun nahi socha aapne? Wo jo bachche ke liye haddi kar di, sakha kar do, ji gara kar do, idi ko bakra de do, sakha kar. Wo pehle kyun nahi socha to haath bach jata, jaan bach jati, gaadi bach jati. Kyun nahi apne khoon ke rush mein paida kiya aapne aisi apni cheez ki aap sakha kar do bakra har hafte, har mahine, har saal mein. ये नहीं अभी ग्लास टूट गया सत्ता करो बर्तन मेरे टूट रहे आज सत्ता करो. What kind of culturalistic, ritualistic philosophy you are embedded in? And the reason I say, because I come from that background, I know, I've seen my elders, Dadi, Nani say, and I used to question myself. I said, why would Allah break someone's hand, break someone's car, put someone in jeopardy? Why? Allah wants bakra after that? No! Allah is saying, give me the bakra before it. So you don't become the Qurbani ka Bakr. We have to develop this philosophy. We have to become open-hearted people, not stingy bakhil. Isn't that true? We always open our heart after we've been hit. You take a hit, oh, sakha karo. Pehle kar dete, to ye ayat wahi kahi thi. Innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyiat. Well, I said in Urdu for those who don't understand, that there's a philosophy, there's a mentality in the Indo-Pakistani community. Age old, customary, coming from many centuries. Then whenever they get an accident, they broke a leg or have a fracture or they have a loss of jaw or some calamity, they say, do a sadqa. And what they do is, they go and buy a small bakra. I said, no, you're going to pick your thing. Well, that's what you should have done. I said, oh yeah, don't call me, but I'm not nobody. अल्लाह ताला के मजर करके देना, अल्लाह ताला वजन करके दे रहा हूँ, इतनी वापस कर. Open the heart, teacher asked. So what the people do is they will go and give a sadaqa, ghanam. Okay, because I know bakra in Arabic is a cow, but in Urdu it means a goat. So they'll go and buy a small ghanam and they'll sacrifice and say, this is fi sabilillah. When? After they have a plaster, after they have a bandage, or the car is totaled, or the car became fired up, you know, fired, then they do that. What I was saying is, this ayah is saying, do it before, so that sayyiat. Because there is a hadith of Rasulullah that says, La laruddu al-qadr illa al-du'a. And continuation of that is, I forgot the second part, it says, and nothing can change it except, fi sabilillah, sadaqat. Meaning, two things can avert calamities. Two things can stop any calamity that was meant to come down your way. One, dua. Always make dua. Two, money. Giving. Allah tests us. When He sees someone becoming very stingy, He tests us with the money aspect. This will give you a small example. Just 2 days ago someone told me. He said the gas in New York was very expensive, you know, that's 250, 270 over there. He had on wheels, and I have enough to get to New Jersey and make it cheaper. So I would save some money. But little did he know that Allah knows what is in his heart. He wants to save money, yes, but you can see that. He ran out of the gas on the bridge. So, where are you going to get the gas from? Can you get to New Jersey? No. You got to get gas from. So someone came from New York, gave him the gas, and charged him the same amount that he wanted to save.
And then he remembered, oh, you know, last week in the masjid someone came for donation. I said, oh, I don't want to give to this guy. I saved it. And now I want to save money and gas. You know, this real life example. These things happen to us. Maybe not in this situation or other. The reason I give you this example is, if you always have an open heart, if you always have the generosity for us, look at Uthman, look at Abu Bakr, look at Umar, look at Ali, look at Abu Zar al-Ghaffari, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah, look at these people. The least bit they worried about is the money. Because when you don't worry about the money, money will be chasing you, brothers and sisters. But when you worry for every single penny that I want to get gas in New Jersey and not New York, yes, I'm not saying that be fuzul kharch, be extravagant and lavish. Yes, it's good to be moderate, but we have to be very balanced where to be moderate and where to be open. We're always very stingy when we come to the Jummah Salat, Eid Salat, just the $20 bill. Did you ever think about yourself that the next time you go to Jummah or Eid Salat, you just close your eyes, put your hand in the pocket, whatever comes in there, you just give it, and you don't even count it. Did you ever have this thirst? Did you ever have this feeling? This is Abu Bakr, this is Uthman, this is Umar, this is Ali's philosophy and mentality. We, before giving, how many of us always count before giving? Raise your hand. How many of us don't count when we give? Raise your hand. Did you ever not count? Because that's what the hadith of Rasulullah is saying. In that very famous hadith, you know, that سَبْعَةُ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ لَا يَذِلُّ إِلَّا ذِلُّ. Seven people who Allah will shade them on the day of judgment from the scorching heat of shams or sun, when there is no shade except the shade of the arsh of Allah ta'ala. And of the seven types of qualification of people is one where Rasulullah said that رَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ الْمَالِ لَا يَعْرِفُ شِمَالُهُ مِنْ يَمِينِهِ. Subhanallah. This is the meaning that I meant, that did you ever count? Or did you not count before giving? Did you count the number of notes? How many $5 bills? How many $10 bills? How many 20? And then put in the box? Or you just say, I don't care to do anything, whatever. Hey. So that somebody asks you, how much did you donate today? I don't know, brother. I really don't know. It fits this hadith. Like, رَجُلٌ أَعْتَاهُ اللَّهُ أَنْفَقَ مَعْهُ. Rajulun, man or woman who gives money, sadaqah, in the way of Allah, such that the left hand did not know what the right hand gave. In other words, the hadith is implying always use your right hand. I've seen many times people giving money or check with the left hand. Hadith is saying that the right hand gives. Al-yadu al-ulya wa al-yadu sufla, that mentality. The right hand gives. The right hand gives such that left hand. Now, does the hand ever know? No. What the hadith is saying, that the man or woman never counted. It's not that the man or woman said, okay, right hand, turn the left hand, how much you gave? No. Meaning the person never counted. That's what it's meaning, the hadith. Now the person opened their heart such that, let's say, not worrying about something. And then when we do this kind of ma'amala with Allah, Allah gives multiple dividends. Endless. It's like Allah sending blank checks down this way. And by the way, this bank is not regulated by FDIC. Doesn't need to be. This bank is guaranteed. Never gonna end. Khazana. It doesn't need insurance. Doesn't need guarantee from any organization that will run out of money. All those blank checks flourishing down on that person who has this mentality. And that's exactly the same thing Allah is saying. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. Any fidya, any money on the day of judgment. So in other words, Allah is saying, empty your pockets, empty your luggage, your baggage. Come to me as light as you can be. Don't come to me, Allah, as heavy as you can be. See, we have the other philosophy. Stave off enough money, save every money, because when I go to the grave, I can carry this money. No, I can't. It gets left behind. So why? Just lower it. All of the Khulafa Rashidin, when they died, they had nothing, empty. All the Sahaba you see in their histories, biographies, at the time of their death, and the deathbed, when the son and daughter and wife were around them, even the son and daughter and wife were trained in such a grooming and mentoring, that they were asked, that Baba, what you leave for me? How many grand? How many millions? How many CDs? How many policies? How many this? No. Rather, the father would be saying at the deathbed, "Oh son, daughter, there is something you find over there, go and give that even before my last breath comes out. I don't want to meet Allah on the day of judgment saying I had either one dirham or one dinar in my pocket." And did they make a fuss about it? Did the son and daughter start jumping on it? "Oh my dad, give us at least a dirham, a dinar." No. Because they knew their dad well, and they knew their dad's God, Allah, very well. No, he's going to take care of it. This is what we call the iman, tawakkul. Concrete iman, stronger than concrete, rock solid. Blind faith, this is what we call blind faith. Not faith with surety and certainty. Why did Ibrahim al-Islam leave his son, small son, who needs water, who needs milk, he cannot even walk, and wife, alone in the desert? What did she say? Did Allah amara bihada? She only has one question. Did Allah order you for this to do? He said yes. She said that's it. With all due respect, Quran Karam Sahib, aaj aisi koi ek bhi nahi kehta hai is duniya mein ki ye keh de kya se ye aap kis pe chhod ke ja rahe hain Allah ko. Theek hai ji, wo pehle itna bada question hai, rokho kahan ja rahe, kaun se airline mein kitna ja rahe, kitna chhod ke jayenge, shayad million mein ek mil jaye. And that is what Allah's love is saying over here, that man can become more stronger in deen if he's got enough support in the back. But if he's getting pestered in the back, question after question, especially money question, financial question, how do you expect that man to progress on a lightning speed in the deen when he has so many strings attached in the back? Or in sare khawateen ki life history bhaage dekh rahe, unhone peeche sare bhaage chune chale, jab bhi unke khawand hawaon mein ud rahe the, metaphorically speaking, so to speak. Look at all these sahaba, look at all these anbiya. And that is what we see here, in that same thinking, that do whatever you want to do, spend as much as you can spend, because once the breath comes out and your eyes close, you can't spend anymore. Because the dead body cannot say to the son, daughter, wife, or anyone, "Hey, this money that is there in my bank, spend it in the word of Allah." No, person can't speak when he's dead. So Allah is saying, look, on the day of judgment, don't come to me with this, "Oh Allah, this is mine, this is fidya, this is fidya, this is adi." Allah will say, "La yuqbalu anka ayya adjum." And that is what this ayah is saying. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ وَلَا يُقْبَلْ مِنْهَا عَدْمٌ وَلَا تَنْفَعْهَا شَفَاعًا. Subhanallah, intercession. This is another dangerous conflict in the believers, in the mu'mineen, Muslims. "Oh, let the storm come, let whatever halat come, I can shave my beard, I can take off the hijab, I can become a modern Muslim, I can wear shorts and I can assimilate and become just like the Muslims, that they can't even tell by my face I'm a Muslim." Why? Because I'm a ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we always read after the azan, every azan, we say that maqam al-mahmuda, that he'll be giving maqam al-mahmuda and he's going to make shafa'ah. So Rasul sallallahu is going to make shafa'ah for him. How is Rasul sallallahu going to make shafa'ah for this individual when he does not at all replicate. Just like the hadith that I said earlier today, that in the whole recovery line, people will be lined up. Nobody's going to stop them. No angel is going to come and say, "Sorry, you can't get in this line." No, you're Mormon, you qualify. But the real qualification is going to come at the moment when you're about to face Rasulullah with his hand. That's when you're going to be screened properly. Right now, you want to get in line, you say, "Line, I'm not getting the line." When it comes to there, two angels descend and snatch that person away. And the Rasulullah is going to say, "Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati." Qila lahu, or it will be said to Rasulullah, a voice will come, "Innahu laysa min Ummati." He or she is not from your Ummah, because you don't know what he or she did after you went away from this dunya. In your ghaib, in your absence, your Rasulullah, what they did, just like Bani Israel, what they did in the absence of Musa al-Islam, in the absence of Isa, in the absence of Ibrahim. That is what Allah is setting the stage over here before the next set of ayats come. And finally, Allah says, "Wa tanfa'u shafa'atun," no intercession will be accepted for them, and no one can make intercession for these people. "Wala hum yunsarun." At the end of the ayah, to put the icing on the cake,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and these people who cannot receive any help from another person, who cannot give any money to get their forgiveness, who cannot receive any intercession, these people will not be successful. وَهُمْ لَا يُنْصَرُونَ. Very, very scintillating, moving, shaking, reverberating at words from Allah. And you see the systematic way? I told you in the beginning of this ayah that if you focus the ayah, there's a very systematic approach, protocol. Allah did not say in the beginning of the ayah, Shafa'ah, you won't have Shafa'ah. Allah did not say in the beginning that you won't accept money, no. First thing Allah said, لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ. No nafs can help each other. Even if they want to give, no father, no son, no brother, no sister, no mother, no daughter, nothing. Even if they want to give their heart out, they cannot give. And even if somebody wants to give all their wealth, like a rich man or rich woman died, they want to give all their wealth, oh Allah, take everything that I left at the moment of death, just give me Jannah. لَا يُقْبَلْ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. No adl, no money, no monetary thing can be accepted for them. No fidya. Like in this dunya, we give fidya, right? If you don't fast in Ramadan, you give money, fidya, based on that. You give kafar. Some sin happens, some mistake happens, you give a kafar, kafar to them. Kafar means expiation, wiping off. Over there, Allah is saying there's no kafara, no fidya, no wiping off. Whatever you want to do, do it now, here in the dunya. And then we finish off with this ayah. We'll stop over here because now the next step starts. But the ayah is talking about Ibrahim al-Islam, Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam. See how greatly Allah linked between the whole 50-60 verses we took about Musa and Bani Israel, and then these two verses came that we took today, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the mu'mineen about Ibrahim al-Islam. وَإِذَا ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال أهدي أهد الظالمين. And we'll start with this ayah, verse 124. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? After reminding us about Bani Israel, after reminding us about the fadl of Bani Israel, after reminding us about the barakat, ma'na on Bani Israel, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shifting gears here in the topic sequence of Surah Baqarah, and now taking us, the reader of the Quran, Muslimin, mu'mineen, believers, the look. Ibtila is mandatory. You are not off the hook. You are not free. And that is what we are. Allah, why is Allah telling us here in Surah Baqarah of the Ibtila of Ibrahim? وَإِذَا ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتِ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Remember when Ibrahim al-Islam was tested? Ibtila, bala. These old words mean test, examination, اختبار, امتحان. That Allah is testing us. Since 9/11, Allah is testing the Ummah to Muhammad ﷺ. And gradually, slowly, the thing I say is about that, screening, channi. Right now we are in a channi mode. There are chai banatins. When we cook the tea, we make the tea in a kettle, back in the old days, you know, gone are the tea bag days. Think about the old days, no tea bag. When you're pouring the tea, you have to put that, otherwise, even the small bits of tea, I know some people like that tea that way, but the big pieces come in the cup. But imagine what you put a screener, you put a chandi. Why you put a chandi? So that none of those bits of tea come, only the flavor come. Why? Because you want the best flavor, extraction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extracting the cream, the elite, the rightful, stamina, courageous, bold, zealous, people for Jannah. Allah is extracting the cream. And whatever is left behind in the kettle, what do you do with it? So I got it. You need to be chai banai to the cover. Garbage. But my kanani chai banai. Guzre ke mood mein balance aa raha hai. And that's what can happen. When this screening process that I started from September 11, 2001, and it's continuing, and it will continue. If anybody has the slightest doubt that this is going to stop, you're wrong, you're mistaken. If you look at the turn of events over the last 4 years, the frequency will increase. I'm not saying that these things, I mean, don't do quote on me at all, he said, he forecast it, no. Don't quote me anything. I'm just saying that the conditions, circumstances for Muslims, believers on the face of this earth
will become more turbulent, more tormentuous. Just like when the tea is boiling or seedy, whistle comes from it, which tells the person, oh, the water has boiled for the tea, tea is ready, now I gotta pour it in. But you put a screamer in between, chalni dal. And then the drips come out of it. So when you get the cup is being prepared. Once the cup is prepared, it's put on the side. Rest of it, oh, this was gonna be a qiyamah. Just before the qiyamah, all the garbage is gonna be put on one side, and all the pure, clean stuff, best stuff will be on one side. So that when they be resurrected on Yom al-Qiyamah, Yom al-Hisab, the cream can already be told. And there are so many numerous ayats in the Quran that talks about this cream. How will they feel? وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ what's that? نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ الْوُجُوهُ وَيَوْمَ تَسْوَدُّ الْوُجُوهُ يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ الْوُجُوهُ the cream. Clean people's wujud. وَيَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ الْوُجُوهُ the one that is left behind, the screen thing that goes to God. وَذِي يَوْمَذِ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَ تَرْحَقُ وَقَطَرَ غَبَرَ غُبَارَ dust تَرْحَقُ وَقَطَرَ people don't like to see those faces. That's the faces of the God. وَذِي يَوْمَذِ الْمُصْفِرَ ظَاهِكَةٌ مُصْفَرَ this is the wujud, this is the face on Yom al-Qiyamah of those people who are the cream, who have come out of the chalni, out of the extraction process. And so many ayahs in Surah Haqqa, هَلْ مُقْرَوْ كِتَابِيَا إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا words of the cream people, they say, إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا I was very sure that I'm going to see my hisab. So what are they saying? هَلْ مُقْرَوْ كِتَابِيَا come, O human being, come, O insan, read my book. Read my book. I was very certain. I knew in those days of 9/11 that this is going to happen. And I was firm. I was not rocked by the boat. I was very firm and stable on my Sunnah Rasulullah, on the Quran. So read my book. And in the same Surah Allah SWT talks about the extraction, the garbage, how they will feel. That they will say that they don't want to see their hisab. Ya laytaha kanat al-qadiya. Ya laytaha. Oh, I wish it was delayed. Procrastination. But I don't want to see this hisab kitab. The cream is saying, come read my book. Joyous, happy, glowing faces, laughing faces, smiling faces. Come, running around. Read all about it. Read all about it. And the other one, downsized, groaning, moaning, barking, Bujay, that what did I do? Why didn't after 9/11 I wake up? Allah gonna say, didn't I wake you up? Give me so many signs you didn't wake up. And people nowadays are saying, there's this slogan out there, that they say, why are these religious people really so, who are saying this? The other side of the spectrum, who want to be totally mesmerized in the society, assimilated, who want to disown themselves from their Muslim brothers and sisters, who want to deviate themselves from any attachment whatsoever, that if that Tom, Dick and Harry say, oh, are you associated with that? No, I have the last thing to worry about that. I'm not associated with that mosque, with that center, with those people. I don't even meet people. I don't even know them. This is a very dangerous mentality, because these people are really digging their own graves. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. That, O Muhammad al-Islam, remember when Ibrahim al-Islam was tested. وَجَبْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبَّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ إِتْمَامَ أَتَمَّهُ He completed. He fulfilled the test. Allah is saying, Ya Muhammad al-Islam, remember when your father and your brother prophet Ibrahim al-Islam was tested by Allah. But can imagine on it means by the Sharia, Qawaneen, Amar bil Ma'roof and Nahya Munkar. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ And he completed, he fulfilled the test successfully. No one has been tested as huge, as humongous as Ibrahim al-Islam. You look the whole Quran and you see that Allah SWT has given so many ayats about the description of the intihad of Qidar of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam. For me and you, so that when our personal exam comes to us, we don't get fed up, we don't become frustrated, pessimistic. No, we always listen to the ayats of Ibrahim al-Islam and say, oh, look at Ibrahim al-Islam, how much he was tested. He had to leave his family apart alone. He had to take his son and he was asked to sacrifice. In every aspect of Ibrahim al-Islam's test, there is a message for me and you in every aspect of our life. When we are young, teenagers, we're going through a lot of thoughts as young men, as young people, young men and women, teenagers. A lot of emotion, a lot of, you know, volatility, a lot of enthusiasm, and motivation, momentum. So Allah is telling us in the Qissa of Ibrahim, when he saw the shams and the kawkab, when he was a young boy, the look, he was a young man, fatah. Like in Surah Anbiya, Allah tells us that when Ibrahim Islam broke all those small idols, he was a fatah. Because when they asked, man fa'al hadha bi alihatina, who did this with our gods? They said, qalu sami'na fatah, yadhkuru ismuhu Ibrahim. We suspect and think it's a small boy, Fata. Yes, there is small Ibrahim, we think his name is Ibrahim. So he was a young man at that time, with energy, enthusiasm, momentum. Move forward, he gets married. He gets married, he has a small child. At an early age, when you are all those young couples out there, all those newly married people, you get tested at that certain age. The moment you get married, boom, huge test comes up to test the relationship. And that's what Allah is telling us in the story of Ibrahim Islam. That when they were tested, they were so bonded together. Husband and wife relationship was so acute, so joined, so solid. That when the husband said, I'm going to put you aside and I have to go because Allah has called me. She said, upon whom are you leaving us? He said, Allah, you know. Moving on forward, his son grows up, becomes bigger. He's walking on his helping hand. He's 9, 10 years old. He helps, he brings water, he carries bags, he's a helping man. Because if he was tested when he was a young boy, a young baby, 6 months old, it would be a test still, but not as huge. He's just a small boy, 6 months. But when a boy is 6, 7 years old, and he's a handy man, he's a handy person, and he's helping out in things, in chores, in errands, in the house, taking out the trash, washing the dishes, something like that, whatever the case may be. And then you test at that time, it requires a great deal of patience, forbearance, faith. That's why Allah did not give any prophet this title except Ibrahim al-Islam. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Ummah is a whole ummah, a group of people. One man is equivalent to a whole ummah. Because what a ummah would go through a test, Ibrahim al-Islam went alone, single-handed. Moving on forward, he was tested again in the fire now. Family, kids, everything, tested, fire. Allah showed the test. Become cool, fire. Fire, you have no order except to be cool. People standing in front, people want to hurt them. People want to damage him. People want to destroy him. People want to get rid of him. And they see he's not burning in the fire. You know why they made a whole pit of fire? Because they said if we just put a oil spill oil on his body, on the clothes, and put a fire on him, he will not burn. They said, this guy, we got to make sure that he's totally finished. So make a big pit of fire and make a catapult so that he can throw this man with a projectile motion. Why? Because the mala, the chief of the qawm at that time said, the only way you can know that you have khalas, you can ikhlas mean this person, is make him land in the center of the fire. Because the center of the fire is the most heated part. Times have changed, but the philosophy is the same. Enemies of Allah on this earth have the same philosophy. Set it up, frame them, do whatever you want to do, but make sure you get rid of them. Because the goal is still the same from Ibrahim to now. Nothing has changed. Only the people have changed. The battle of evil and good is just not coming from Adam and Islam, it's coming all the way through till the end. And that's what Allah is not saying. فَأَتَمَّهُمْ نَصْرُ إِنَ مَدْرَ إِقْلِيسَ اللَّهُ سَيْرِ إِنْ لَكَ دَوَانَ إِسَيْرِ إِنَّ إِبْرَهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Why is Allah giving these ayahs over here? Because after Musa Islam and Bani Israel, their next claim was the Ahl al-Kitab living in Medina. Their next claim was, oh, we are also followers of Ibrahim al-Islam. We are the only ones who have the right on Ibrahim al-Islam. Because we are alone associated with him. So Allah is saying, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ يَهُودِينَ وَلَا نَصْرَانِينَ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Allah is deviating them, cleansing their mindset from the thinking that, oh, we are attached to Ibrahim Islam. Allah is saying, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ يَهُودِينَ وَلَا نَصْرَانِينَ. Ibrahim Islam was not a Jew or a Christian. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Rather, he was a Hanif. Hanif meaning monotheistic. Single, meaning he never at all did shirk. He never at all thought on the dispersion or diversion route. He was always on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And he was also a Muslim, one who submitted to Allah. Allah asked him, sacrifice your child, he submitted. Allah asked him, don't worry, you're going to the fire, don't worry about it, he submitted. Allah asked him, leave your children, don't go, he went. Allah tested him with the people over there, he went. Another way Allah's mother is saying here, over here, where Ibrahim al-Ladhi waffa, in another ayah in the Quran, Allah tells us that Ibrahim, the one and only who, waffa, awfa, meaning he fulfilled the covenant, the promise. Allah has not used this word for anyone else in the Quran except for Ibrahim al-Islam. And that's why the beginning of verse 124 is very jolting, shaking, and it's very relevant to me and you today. We have been shaking as we speak. Every day is a new day for us. Every day you open the TV, the radio, the news, you hear something happened in the name of Islam and Muslim. So you get another shaken up joke. But Allah is asking the question, every time you hear the news that there is something negative, detrimental to Ummah of Islam, Allah is posing right in that sphere a question towards each one of us. You are Muslim. Are you ready for the awfa, for the wafa of the ahd of Allah that you made when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadullah rasuluhu wa li'adha wa sallam. We'll end with this inshallah for today.